I guess we can get started. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for being here today. I'm Christoph Beck, Chairman and CEO of Ecolab. We're pleased to welcome you to the Ecolab Innovation Center.
Yeah.
Governor. Lieutenant Governor. Yeah. So great to have you here, the entire office, Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and all of those who had a hand in the climate action framework. It's a big deal for all of us. It's a privilege to host you at the Ecolab Innovation Center, a place where every day more than 1,000 associates commit to finding new innovation to address the biggest challenges that the world is facing, to help mark the launch of this new climate vision and action plan for Minnesota. Sustainability is at the core of this global Minnesotan company. Directly and through our customers, Ecolab is helping manage 1.1 trillion gallons of water, protect 36% of the world's food production, and generate 20% of the world's power. After more than a century in business, our global reach has never been more important than today, because if climate were a shark, well, water, our most precious resource, would be its teeth. When we save water, we save energy, and we save cost. In some industries, upwards of 20% of tapped energy is spent on the movement and management of water. This means every efficiency we gain in managing water translates directly to savings in carbon and in cost. And that's why at Ecolab, and I think together with the state as well, we firmly believe that sustainability is a great deal for business. Ecolab has focused on water, particularly industry's management of water, as a way to enable climate progress. Last year alone, we helped Ecolab's customers save 215 billion gallons of water, enough drinking water for 734 million people, and avoid 2.6 million metric tons of greenhouse gas emissions. Our work enabling sustainability progress continues to have a resounding impact on business in Minnesota and around the world in 172 countries. We understand what can be achieved when we work together, and we believe in the power of collective action, which is why we applaud the Climate Action Framework being launched today as a thoughtful effort to guide the future of climate action. The plan draws upon both the public and private sectors to accomplish its goals. Frankly, there is no other way to meet the urgency of the moment, and we see a role for every government, business, and citizen in creating a resilient and carbon-neutral future. We appreciate all that the Climate Action Framework will do to advance climate progress in Minnesota and around the world. It is the mission of Ecolab at this Innovation Center and beyond to help deliver on the urgent need for action. So next, it's my privilege to introduce you, Governor Tim Walz, who will offer remarks on what this bold framework means to Minnesota.
Thank you, Christoph.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, a thank you for Christoph and the team at Ecolab, one for hosting us, but for being an incredible asset for this state. As we came up today, I mentioned to Christoph that Ecolab was there immediately during COVID-19 to help provide us the guidance and the expertise, whether it was supply chain expertise around PPE or some of the things we needed on public health. And Christoph mentioned that that public health and sustainability has been the mission of this company for 99 years. A global company headquartered here in Minnesota, tackling some of our most difficult challenges. And this group you see up here today, both elected officials, Speaker Hortman, Leader Franzen, and members of the legislature, but there are commissioners up here and there's private sector, nonprofit. This is a collection of some of the most innovative thinkers and doers who've got it done, from some of our largest utilities like Xcel with Chris, to our environmental community that understands this existential threat of climate change is going to require all of us to have a strategic long-range plan. It was in 2007 where Minnesota was ahead of the rest of the nation. We stepped out front on some of our renewable standards. We stepped out front in a bipartisan manner to talk about how we can protect the pristine environment of this state at the same time growing the economy. It is a false choice to believe that if you address climate change, that is somehow detrimental to the economy. Nothing could be further from the truth. To not address climate change will be that existential threat to the health, to the well-being, and to the economic future of Minnesotans for generations to come. So this framework put by, and you'll hear from some of these folks, these are experts that are known across the country and many globally for the work that is being done around climate and a vision for how we get there. This has been years of work, thousands and thousands of Minnesotans involved in this in conversations, working hand in hand to make sure that this framework provides a roadmap together to get to where Christoph was talking about. This is how Minnesota's prosperity, this is how Minnesota's sustainability, this is how Minnesota leads. And we saw it just this week, yesterday, the Public Utilities Commission authorized and talked about the Sherco Solar Plant project. We're going to see the largest solar project in Minnesota, creating 900 jobs and moving us in a direction of more sustainability around our energy generation. These are all issues that come together. And just having left from upstairs and watching some of the innovation that's happening here with our scientists, Steve talking about 10 years of his work creating the a process to make sure that we're using less water and less downtime at plants from energy generation to food processing to make sure that we're keeping that water in system, to make sure we're not scaling where we close the pipes or using more energy to develop the product that they're working on. If we can save water, reduce energy costs, we increase profits and cut down on input costs. All of those things are win-win-wins across the board. So this framework needs to be as it was in 2007. It needs to be a bipartisan, all of government, private sector, nonprofits, activist community, working for some measurable goals that need to be reached, but doing so in a manner that our business community and our power generators know are reasonable, make sense for our consumers, and make sure if it's electricity, that it's a reliable, it's affordable, it's sustainable for them. Those are things that need and have to happen. This framework gets us there. So I'm incredibly proud, and I want to just give a turnaround. I just said this. This is one of the first times I've seen most of my commissioners in one place since COVID, and many folks that we've worked with on many issues. This inspires me, if upstairs listening to the innovation on a product around water, but this inspires me that Minnesotans came together once again, and to make a difference. And I could not be prouder. I could not be more hopeful. This is the plan Minnesota needs. This is a framework to get there. It allows for innovation. It allows for creativity. It allows us to move with a sense of urgency and to pivot when we need to pivot. So congratulations to everybody who worked on this, and a thank you on behalf of the people of Minnesota. And I want you to hear a bit from the experts who put this together and some of the folks who have been instrumental in making this operational. I'll start out with Lieutenant Governor Flanagan.
Thank you, Governor. It's a good team to be standing here with today. Good morning, everyone. It's really great to be here. Thank you, Christoph, for hosting us. And Steve, congratulations on 10 years of work for this technology. We're very excited about it. So some of the key things that Minnesotans value the most about our state and where we live are at risk. Our lakes, our state parks, fertile land, our trees and fall colors, and the bitter cold and snow that makes us who we are as Minnesotans. Like many parents, I wake up every day and worry about the future of the world that my daughter will grow up in. We must do the work and take bold steps now to protect our future generations from the worst impacts of climate change. No person or place in our state is exempt from the effects of climate change. We also know that these effects disproportionately hurt our neighborhoods that have been historically marginalized, and that is why equity is one of the key pillars of our framework. For far too long, low-income communities, communities of color, indigenous communities have been the sites of pollution and environmental degradation, leading to disparities in health and overall quality of life. It is our responsibility as leaders to ensure that everyone in our state has an opportunity to thrive and not just survive. Because every Minnesotan deserves a future with breathable air and drinkable water and all the beautiful natural resources that make Minnesota, Minnesota. So I'm proud of the work that went into building this framework and grateful for the thousands of Minnesotans who took the time to share with us what's most important to them. I know that I am excited to leave a better, cleaner, safer Minnesota for my kiddo, and I hope that you're excited about that too. And I wanted to just say that the next speaker that we are bringing up has been a longtime champion for combating climate change and sustainability. And with that, Speaker Hortman, please come on up.
Thank you. Good morning. It's great to be here with all of you. I want to thank Kristoff as well and the team at Ecolab for hosting us here today and for the work that you do on a continuing basis. Also, huge thanks to the governor, the Advisory Council on Climate Change, and members of the Climate Change Subcabinet. It is really important for Minnesota to have a governor who understands the threat that climate change presents to Minnesota for this generation and for future generations. And I am so grateful that this is a governor and a lieutenant governor and a cabinet that gets it. Climate change is one of the greatest threats we have to Minnesota's future. None of us want to see the loss of our walleye or our maple trees. And we all have a responsibility to be part of the solution. It's not going to happen if we don't take action at a policy level, but we also need for individual citizens and corporations to be part of the solution. This framework provides that solution, and it guides Minnesota with the steps that we need to truly combat the climate crisis, both now and going forward. At a state level, Minnesota has been among the forefront with other leading states around the country, from our presence at the Paris Climate Talks to the innovative policies that we passed in 2007 and 2013 to clean up our energy grid and have more renewable power. We're a nation leader in fighting climate change, and we cannot risk falling behind. It's exciting to see the historic investments from President Biden and the Democrats in Congress in the Inflation Reduction Act. It's a really exciting success story that we can build on here in Minnesota. And as we transition to cleaner energy and to new technologies that help us address the climate crisis, there are job opportunities, there are economic growth opportunities. And I think Minnesota, with companies like Ecolab, is well positioned to take advantage of those opportunities. Again, thank you to the governor and to the administration for their vision in putting forward this climate action plan. We are excited to work with the governor at the legislature in the next few years to implement all the pieces of the plan. And with that, I'd like to introduce the Democratic leader of the Senate. Is that right? Or Commissioner Kessler. Commissioner Kessler from the Pollution Control Agency.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Again, echo thanks to Ecolab for having us. I'm Katrina Kessler. I'm the commissioner of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and I have the honor to be the chair of the Minnesota Climate Subcabinet, many of whom are up here with me today. And I'm really excited to celebrate this pivotal step in our work going forward in response to the climate crisis. The Climate Action Framework builds on years of engagement with Minnesotans on this issue. It reflects input from thousands of people and experts around the state, from local government, from tribal nations, from nonprofits, from businesses, and those from sectors across our economy. And we heard from people across the state that Minnesota needs a clear plan to guide how we will reduce and prepare for the impacts of climate change. And today we share that plan and look ahead to the work that we will do together to change the challenges, to address the challenges that climate represents for Minnesotans and the opportunity it presents for our state. The Climate Action Framework is organized around six goals, and it includes measurable targets that we will use to track and report our progress. Clean transportation represents the greatest opportunity to reduce climate pollution. In this area, the Climate Action Framework calls for goals to connect Minnesotans with sustainable and affordable transportation options. In the area of natural and working lands, the framework includes a goal to grow landscapes that can absorb and store carbon, reduce emissions, and sustain local economies. To build resilient communities, the framework includes a goal of equipping local leaders with the tools they will need to adapt to the extreme weather caused by climate change. The framework also includes goals to increase the use of clean energy and energy-efficient buildings that will create jobs and lower energy costs. Keeping in mind that some of our communities experience impacts of climate change more than others, the framework includes a goal of ensuring that all Minnesotans have healthy lives and communities. And lastly, but certainly not least, the framework includes goals that will drive us towards the transition to a clean economy with climate solutions to benefit everyone, creating new jobs in every corner of the state. Together, these goals will help us achieve the vision of the framework, which is a carbon neutral, equitable, and resilient future for our state. Importantly, the framework also adopts a new greenhouse gas emissions reduction goal and adaptation goals based on the best available science from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or the IPCC. These include reducing our greenhouse gas emissions by 50% by 2030 and achieving a zero emissions goal by 2050, and prioritizing investments across the state to prepare our communities for the next 10 years and beyond. Minnesotans will not be able to move forward in this work alone. We need to do this together. The recently passed Inflation Reduction Act has created national momentum for continued climate action. Minnesota is poised to take full advantage of the opportunities that this has created. By working together, we will ensure that our farmers and foresters realize the financial benefits associated with climate smart practices, and that Minnesota businesses reduce their emissions while building the climate friendly products that consumers are asking for. Minnesota is also joining with local governments and other states in this urgent action to protect our homes for future generations. As I mentioned, publishing the framework is the state's next step in our response to climate, but it is not our last. Each action included in the framework has a different path to become reality. Some actions will be used to develop legislative proposals that will create new laws and programs and grants to help Minnesotans protect against the devastating impacts of climate change. Some recommendations expand state work at agencies that are already underway. And other actions may be supported by the new federal funding and policy, while some actions can be taken already with existing funding and expertise and are already underway by our business partners. All require partnership and collaboration beyond state government. Minnesotans have always excelled at transforming necessity into opportunity, and the challenge presented by climate change calls on that innovative spirit more than ever. I look forward to working with partners here with us today and the rest of the state to bring this framework to life. And now it is my honor to introduce Senator Lopez Franson.
Thank you, Commissioner, and it's such an honor to be here today. My name is Melissa Lopez Franson, Senate Minority Leader, and I have to say I've always had a relationship with Ecolab because your former CEO, Doug Baker, has been a constituent and still is, so I've always had a great line of communication with the great work that you all have done, and the innovation in this room and the creativity in this state is one to be celebrated, especially a day like today. I want to start by thanking Ecolab, of course, and Christoph Beck for hosting this event and showing us how Minnesota businesses are actually acting boldly to address climate change. Thank you for showing Minnesota that we all have a stake in this important effort. A group of us have gone to international delegations representing Minnesota. I was part of the last one to Germany this summer, and they had a plan. What they missed and what we talked about and we heard over and over again is that they did not act fast enough to deal with their energy issues that they have today. So we have a plan and we're ready to act. And to the Lieutenant Governor and Governor Walz and all the other state leaders that have brought together today to celebrate this, thank you not only for your remarkable leadership, but also for your vision and focus on helping Minnesota tackle the urgent, and again, urgent and complicated threat of climate change that has impacted our state greatly in recent years with droughts and other natural disasters. It's not easy, but you've taken it on and you've provided solutions. As you've developed this important climate action framework, you've brought Minnesota values, ingenuity, and know-how to do the process. You've included a wide range of people, organizations, experts around and across the state. And you didn't have to do it that way, but you did, and this plan is better because of it. The framework in this product brings together many diverse voices and viewpoints, and it shows. You've listened to communities that are often ignored, and the very communities that are often hit the hardest by the climate crisis, as Lieutenant Governor alluded to. As leaders in the legislature, Speaker Hortman and I understand that the process, the proposals like this are not always universally popular or easy to enact, but with the costly and looming climate crisis threatening our families, our communities, and our very future of our economy, we simply have no choice. We can't wait any longer to act, and this framework represents significant and needed action based on science and supports from across the Minnesota community. We look forward to supporting your efforts. Minnesotans understand the urgency of climate change and are ready to act, and they want us to do so by working together, cross-functionally, cross-sectors. From our farmers hit by drought and weather disasters to Minnesota families and businesses and communities whose health and well-being are being threatened by this worsening problem, they're looking for leadership like this, and we are bringing it forward. Future generations will judge us by the actions we take today, and I believe they will understand how important it is for us to have moved in such decisiveness and to hold off looming climate change crisis. So, Governor, today you are putting an important process into motion that allows the real work of tackling change to move forward. It represents Minnesota values, and it's critically important to our state's environment, our economy, and our everyday way of life. Thank you, and congratulations to everybody who put a finger on this plan.
I've been a farmer for over 40 years. In that time, I have no doubt that our climate has changed. Extreme events are now common. The landscape has changed. I'm pleased as a Climate Advisory Council member to be part of the release of the Climate Action Framework. We recognize climate change as a crisis. We have defined the issues, and now we have a plan with action behind it, and also a vision. Food, biofuel, and fiber production is all about harvesting the sun and along the way capturing carbon from the atmosphere. Within agriculture, there have been many positive and productive changes over the years, but as you will see in the framework from a climate perspective, we have room for improvement. However, I believe our fields and forests will be part of the solution. We have many players in the farm-to-plate sector that already have climate action plans. The time is right to pull those plans together for a combined public and private initiatives where we are actively working together on solutions. We need to stop talking and start doing. We will use science, technology, ingenuity, and data to steer our course. Investment will be required in our fields and forests and also in our rural communities. Farmers and foresters cannot make change by themselves. We as a community must work together to incentivize and financially support on-the-ground changes. To make our fields and forests forever green, there will be a need for talented people. Those people will need communities that are connected, accessible, modern places to live. We must make our rural communities places where our children want to live. The recently passed federal climate change legislation will give a needed boost to climate change efforts. We as a state must also take the lead in bonding, funding, and enabling climate change research, education, and support our agencies. All Minnesotans must pitch in for our climate change efforts to be successful. We must educate our children and educate ourselves on climate change. Plant a tree, support a farmer, advocate for climate efforts in your community, and be part of the solution. Thank you.
Hey, well said.
Well said. And again, we have a diverse group of folks up here. We're going to take some questions. I feel like we should just have Steve answer them after we're upstairs. Steve, ask our questions on engineering around water. But we'll be glad to take questions. And I would ask the group up here, there are experts from a diverse field dealing with climate. Please feel free to speak accordingly, because this is our team that built this.
Governor, or perhaps Commissioner Kessler,
Can you speak to how you see this? How much does it need to be legislative action? How much can the MPCA take in form of a rulemaking process? How much does the legislature need to be involved?
Excellent question. And I think we see this as a partnership, not just with the legislature, but with our business community, with our farmers, with our municipal leaders. And definitely legislation will be part of it. And we're hopeful that the next biennial budget includes a big, robust climate package to support agencies, to support local leaders, to provide incentives for communities and businesses to further the work. Some of the work will continue. It's already continuing. You heard from Dairy Farmer Extraordinaire Pat Luneman, like, this work is already happening. Ecolab is already doing this. I think it's going to be iterative, so we're going to propose a budget. We're going to work with the legislature. We're going to see where we are. We're going to keep holding ourselves accountable. There's a lot of measurable goals in the framework in each of those six sectors. And if in 6 months and in a year we have to pivot and take a different approach, and including partnership with the legislature, we're going to do that.
Minnesota and the clean car rule is impacted by the changes that California has made?
Yeah, so excellent question. I mean, Minnesota is on a path right now to implement the rule that we put in place that makes sense for Minnesotans. And we are focused on implementing that work at hand. California has made a choice that makes sense for California. And at this point, we are just moving ahead with our plan.
Does it force Minnesota to adjust in the future?
No, Minnesota does not have to adjust in the future. I mean, ultimately, if our rules align with the federal rules, which will be the case in 2025 when the Clean Cars rule that Minnesotans passed takes effect, we will follow the federal rule.
Can I piggyback on that?
Craig,
the plan in here calls for a clean fuel standard. And that's something that would need legislative approval, I'm imagining. Can someone speak to why that would be a better approach than, say, adopting the newer California standards on banning gas-powered cars, and especially if it does need legislative approval, which has been a difficult thing to do? So can someone speak to that?
Yeah, this is a MPCA Assistant Commissioner for and the lead person supporting the Climate Action Plan. Craig McDonald, and so he can speak to the questions around the fuel standard. And there are others up here too, yeah. So if others want to jump in.
Feel free to be.
So great question on the clean fuel standard. As we think about Minnesota's fleet of vehicles, we know that gasoline-powered vehicles are going to be on the road for a long time. As that turns over, we know electrification is happening. That's the way manufacturers are going. But those liquid fuels are going to be a part of our transportation system for quite some time. So a clean fuel standard, we're working with our farmers and our growers, our producers who are already producing lower carbon fuels and incentivizing them to go further, makes sense for Minnesota. And it's part of that effort here where we can get to those win-win-wins that the governor was talking about, right? Where we can grow our agricultural economy, we can lower our carbon emissions, and we can improve our environment. But we do have leaders from other opportunities, but I hope that answers your question.
Jamie Long, Chair of the Climate and Energy Committee in the House. So we did pass a clean fuel standard in the House, and I think one of the reasons why we are so supportive of the governor's work around clean cars and the goals that are put forward in this plan is that transportation, as was mentioned, is our biggest sector right now for climate emissions. And there's really three ways you can get at it. You can do fuels, you can do vehicle miles traveled, and you can do efficiency. And so we need all three to be able to move forward effectively in the climate direction. And this proposal sets goals out for all three of those, which I think is well aligned with what we're trying to push for in the legislature.
Would you see that as the, and perhaps Speaker Hortman, if she's still here, that is the, you know, priority number one for Democrats in terms of legislative action, is a clean car standard? If we're looking at the plan, what do you see as something with urgency that the legislature ought to do?
Well, I think the most important thing that this plan does is set forth a vision for where we need to go as a state, and aligning our climate goals with science and with the direction that we actually need to achieve. So updating what we said in 2007, which at that point in time was the best science, to say we're going to get to 100% by 2050. We're going to have net zero carbon emissions economy-wide is huge. And that's really important for us, I think, as legislative leaders, to have that direction, to have that shared vision with the governor. And I think every piece of this plan really is important. We know that climate is a big challenge. It's going to take work in transportation and energy and buildings and working lands. So I wouldn't like pick a favorite child necessarily in this bill. Governor and I have worked really hard on the 100% clean energy standard by 2040, which I guess if I had to pick one, I'd say that's where I would go, and that's in this proposal. But we're going to need all of this to be able to meet these goals and targets, and that's why it's so important to have this document that has all of these sub-goals set out, because we really need to work collaboratively across all these sectors if we're going to meet this challenge.
Governor, why are you announcing this now? We're just a few weeks before the election. We don't know what the balance of power is going to look like at the Capitol come January.
Well, this issue will transcend who's ever elected. This issue is not going away. It needs to be addressed. There's folks here who are not from elected office and are still moving in the direction of this. This has been years of work, and this is when it was completed and ready to go, and we said, let's get this done. I also think during election seasons, it's a good time because it fosters conversations, too, of where we're going. And I'm proud that we have bipartisan support around this. I know Senator Senjum expressed his support. He's been very innovative around this issue. He's been to Germany with our teams and worked on these things. And I think this is where this thing came done. The urgency is here. We're moving forward on this. And I think it lets us set up a stark contrast that you're seeing that Minnesotans know we need to move in this direction. And the time to, to turn away from that is long past. So it makes sense right now that the urgency is here. We're going to do it.
Question. We've had these plans before in the past. How is this
one
going to be different?
Yeah, I may on this one let some folks hear. This is a question we asked, and I think all of us to remember this. And I say this as a new first term member of Congress back in 2007. I was in a church in New Ulm. And I was there with Bishop Chilstrom, the Lutheran bishop at the time for Southern Minnesota. And I was there with Will Steger, the Arctic explorer and climate activist. And I was there with then Governor Pawlenty. And I was there as a newly elected congressman. And it was a bipartisan agreement that we were going to move and we were going to get there. I think we know between 2007 and somewhere in there where Nancy Pelosi and Newt Gingrich sat on the couch together and said, we're going to have to address climate. We've started to divide in our politics. The issue has not divided. The issue has become more urgent. The science has not divided. It's become more clear. And I think now the reason I believe this is different, and I think you heard the representative very clearly talk about this, that there, and the commissioner, there are measurable goals that we need to get to, and we can no longer kick it down. So I think, again, yes, if people try and hold up, if they don't want to do anything, there's the potential that it makes it more difficult to get there. I just think, as you heard from Pat and others, it is just so self-apparent to everyone that we have to address this. And to not have goals and to not have a plan and to not build a coalition like this. I mean, I think it's stunning when I look back here, and I hope that's sinking in of who's here, from some of our largest international businesses to our largest energy producers to our biggest environmental activist groups to practical decision makers. So I'm hopeful that now is the time, and Minnesotans have spoken loud and clear to us. This is what they want addressed.
Last one. There's one.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.